Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. Today I have a special guest, and we're not going to talk about politics. We're going to talk about something totally useful for yourself. I want to tell you a little bit about him. His name is Gary Stewart. He works with Constellation Healing Institute. He's internationally recognized when he explores invisible family dynamics as a Constellation facilitator for more than 16 years. He's also got a book out that I love, Master Your Universe, How to Direct and Star in Your Own Life. So you may hear something totally brand new, because I will tell you, this was totally brand new to me, and I found it to be extremely effective, and we'll talk about that as this show goes on. Before I introduce Gary, I do want to let my listeners on Verizon know that for whatever reason, Verizon now is blocking my emails, and that's why you're not getting them. So you need to go to Verizon, and you need to have them whitelist my site. It's always something, and I guess I'm very popular with the powers that be. Anyway, let me say good morning to my guest, Gary Stewart. Good morning, Gary.
Yes, hello, good morning. It's an honor and pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited about the show. You talk about being a transgenerational constellation facilitator. That's a whole That's a whole lot of big words.
I can reduce it down to a soundbite, hopefully.
Well, for me, it was, you know, something brand new, so I really didn't understand, but you've taken so much time and patience with me that I have a pretty good handle on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, generally, it was discovered about 40 years ago, or it was really a synthesis of a lot of progressive thinkers. Bert Hellinger coined the term, and it just really stuck. So if we look at a picture of our family system, we all know what that picture looks like, but constellations look at the deeper picture, the kind of multidimensional emotional structure of the family system that's kind of unseen. So if we look at our family, and I never dispute people's belief about their family, that's the beliefs, that's the reactions they had, but there's really something deeper. There's a deeper flow of love that lets us suffer generation after generation with something that's unresolved and unseen. The great thing about constellations is we use a representative to even be your dead grandmother that you never met, and you're saying you inherited her grief pattern, her post-traumatic stress pattern, because an accident happened in her life. And science has already proven that post-traumatic stress can be inherited. That means you can have the reaction to post-traumatic stress without having been in the action that created it. So like an example for me, my father, you know, killed lots of Nazis in World War II. Our family, who was born after the war was over, carry elements of post-traumatic stress from him being almost killed daily by Nazis while he was in Europe. And many other tragedies and traumas have befallen many people, and we don't even connect that we're reacting to a place and time that no longer exists. Mm-hmm. So the constellation process lets us really go back in time in a way, kind of back to the future, like the movie Back to the Future, and change an element of that or get a broader vision of what's unseen that we're reacting to in our current life, which actually isn't ours. That's the kicker. It's not ours, yet we're reacting to it. So constellations create a healthy boundary between the past and the present for the best future possible.
Well, that's very well explained. I love the way you describe our life as a movie in your book.
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't think most people think about that, you know. And I can tell you this, my ex-husband used to get mad at me because everything that happened in our life, I used to compare to a movie. And he used to say, life isn't a movie. And I used to say to him, if it's not a movie, then it's a song.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And I wrote the book because it's a very hard modality to explain. People think it's about astrology or this or that. It's not. The term constellation stuck because if you look at a picture in the stars, they say it's the Big Dipper, a bear, a dragon, a snake, mm-hmm. you know, whatever you see in the heavens. Well, our family system is those people moving and living like a breathing organism, so to speak. And it really, there's a picture beneath the picture beneath the picture. And so constellations go to the deeper movement and the life force of the entire family system throughout the many generations it existed.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you also host a show called Consciousness Connection on Blog Talk.
Yes, yeah, Conscious Connection, yes, yeah. And I have innovative thought leaders like you, authors, and interview people that are trying to further our understanding of our place and time here on this crazy planet right now.
I know, but I had a thought the other night. I said, I have to remember to ask Gary, do you consider, and I don't even know if you give credibility to past lives, do you consider past lives as part of our ancestry too?
Yes, absolutely. They bleed through. I'm the first person who developed a past life constellation. So we set up a representative to be whatever past life that needs healing or resolution. What I find by doing that experiment, so to speak, that is pretty valid, is that a representative, so even let's say a client's working, even if they're not present, I do distance work from all over the world, they will pick a representative to be them resolving this issue, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then the rep starts saying what the deeper issue, so we're focusing on, say, drug use or addiction, and the deeper issue shows up, this tremendous grief from a dead uncle that happened two generations before that person was born. And I had one family, a Mexican family came, one of their the parents were there. So it was a Mexican family of about, I think, 7 or 8 people. The whole family came as an intervention without the person who was doing lots of drugs and drinking. Mm-hmm. And we set a rep up to be him. And what showed up is he was carrying the grief of his mother's twin brother that was killed in a bar fight in Mexico 20 years before he was born.
Wow.
The mother was there crying and crying and crying. All his siblings saw it. Now, he wasn't there. We used a rep for him because he was so inebriated he couldn't be present. Mm-hmm. The next day, he stopped drinking and doing drugs.
That's fabulous.
He was carrying the grief that the mother carried as an 18-year-old girl having her brother, twin brother die, a deeper connection where they were twins, and he was a dead ringer for his dead uncle. So his mother saw him as her brother who died, and he kind of on a soul level agreed to carry that grief for her because she couldn't handle it for her whole life. So the family was absolutely amazed. How could this happen without him being there? And we saw what he was carrying. So the more the mother could grieve and finally let go of her brother who was killed, unfortunately, in a bar fight, she completed her grief there. Therefore, he didn't have to carry it and numb it with substances because it was too much for him to handle.
Right, right. Well, that's fabulous. You know, it kind of reminds me of, carrying family secrets. And it's interesting because I love John Bradshaw's work.
Me too. He got me interested in this line of thinking way back when.
Right. And one of the books of his that I recommend the most is Family Secrets. And I said, Gary took Family Secrets to a whole new level.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's great because I prefer group experiences. I can do one-on-one. But in a group experience, we get to track the trauma way back before we were born. One client said, this is in my family. I said, you weren't even born yet when this was happening. This is what you birthed into. You incarnated into this nightmare. Nightmare on Elm Street.
You know? Well, speak of Nightmare on Elm Street, in your book you have a list of, if you had to describe your title your life as a movie, and you gave us a bunch of suggestions to pick from.
Yeah.
And I picked Rocky.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's so fitting and that's so wonderful. And you are such a winner and a champion and a truth seeker. I just admire you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. It's just like sometimes I question, because I remember in Rocky, he says, it's not how many times they knock you down that counts. It's how many times you get back up.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh my God, you know, in the 17 years of doing this show, Gary, mm-hmm. I have seen so many people come and go, come and go, come and go. They thought what I did was easy. Would say, well, why don't you try it? You know what I mean? Give it a shot. Let's see how long you last. And if if they were doing one show a week, they were exhausted. And I was at that time 4 and 5 shows a week, which still happens sometimes because the time is
fantastic. Yeah, and just your content is so good because it's no BS. And God forbid there's some truth out there now about so many different things. We're of the same mindset. I just watch and observe all the lies out there. Mm-hmm. And that brings me back to constellations. A lot what we find with constellations is life is kind of a perpetrator-victim loop mm-hmm. in many cases. And we go into that loop. We didn't design that loop. We're all partaking in the wheel of life. And it almost seems like violence and destruction move life forward. It's an odd concept, but we see it over and over again. And I deal with a lot of sex abuse victims, and it's almost like every perpetrator, and that's some of the worst stuff we see in American society outside of politics.
Right.
And every perpetrator was victimized first, and they try to get away from that sense of powerlessness by being a perpetrator. So we hold both to bring oneness consciousness to it, we hold both perpetrator and victim equally, and our goal as constellation facilitators are using this process is to neutralize that bond so it can remain in the past and not be carried and acted out in the future by both sides. Right. But I'm more concerned, of course, with the client who seeks help from me, and we're not trying to heal their perpetrator because we use a rep for those dark people mm-hmm. in their life so they can have closure and say the things they never could say while they were victimized.
Absolutely. And, well, you know, even if you followed Bradshaw's work, you know, especially he did so much on, you know, abuse, victims of abuse, and how he taught that somebody somewhere down the line has to break that pattern.
Right. And most people, the courageous people that I work can, and I have the courage to add the perpetrator element. Whether I'm working with Jewish people, I would always add the SS if they had Holocaust. A few Jewish men approached me last year. They couldn't sleep their whole life. They're in their 60s. They have insomnia from the day they were born. We set up the prison. Well, we didn't set up it. We set up their mother, whoever was in the prison camp, and the Nazi guard that made them have the post-traumatic stress that they could be dragged away in the night. And, you know, they were pretty beklempt watching it. And we got to a resolution between the fate and destiny of the SS and the Jewish victim. Mm-hmm. And obviously they didn't get killed because their child is here working in the room 80 years later, 60 years later.
Right.
You know, so after that they could sleep. The post-traumatic stress belonged to the parent or grandparent who was in the camp. They were reacting as though the Nazis were outside their bedroom door almost a century later. So it's quite magical that we can go back in time, almost like reenact in a way, but our goal is to tune in the deeper spiritual energy of that crisis perpetrator-victim bond that happens through trauma and release that bond so it can stay in the past and the client can be fully present.
Right. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people saying, well, you know, how can that possibly work? But if you think about it, they do tell us that we can genetically inherit our parents' disease.
Absolutely. And I do a lot. I do a lot of health work and stuff like that. And disease has a tipping point. Before it really takes over the body, there's a chance we can change it. And I think we're supporting the immune system. And I've done distance work with people with different diseases, and odd things showed up. A very good friend of mine, who was one of the Oscar-winning sound, he got an Oscar for doing, I'm trying to remember, I'll think of the movie in a minute, but anyway, his great niece was stricken with hemophilia, horrible hemophilia. I mean, it's called von Hillebrand's hemophilia. If you touch somebody, they can hemorrhage and die. I mean, a finger pressure, 5 grams of pressure. So he said, well, can you do something? I said, I'd love to. You've done me lots of favors. And and I said, yeah. So we set it up. And the rep for her, now mind you, she's in Phoenix. And she's a minor, but, you know, her mother gave permission to do this distance work. She didn't even know what it was. And what showed up is her rep was looking at the floor to her left and right. And she said, there's 2 things missing, one on the left, one on the right. So I had little heart pillows because I really felt she was an in utero triplet. And the minute I put the hearts down there, she collapsed on the floor and said, now we're all together again. That's what I've been missing. So what is the connection between in utero triplets that might have receded into the bloodstream of the mother? They shared blood together. They're like blood brothers or blood sisters in utero. Now, this is an ancient memory. No one's going to consciously remember their fertilization.
Right.
But that's what showed up for her. So I called the mother the next day. She says, you're not going to believe this. I didn't write this down on the intake sheet. But since she was 1 year old, she wanted a little stroller so she could put her twins in there so the three of them could be together. That was her earliest. So on a soul level, she knew
right. That.
And it showed up in the constellation without her writing that down. It showed up for us. And the good thing is she was on RH clotting factor like once a week. She's down to one or two times a year now. Now, I don't know if because she was approaching puberty, the hormonal imbalance.
Right.
Leveled off or something with estrogen or whatever, but she's in a much better place and she's so out of danger now and she's forever grateful and it's just wonderful to help somebody. Now, mind you, she was not in the room and her physical DNA of her clotting factor changed by doing one or two constellations on her hemophilia.
That's fabulous. You know, well, as a Reiki master, I mean, I send long distance healings to people all the time. Mm-hmm. And I will get, you know, feedback from them. They felt it. They felt better. You know, they knew when it was happening, which is kind of weird because I don't have like a set time for that. It could be 11 at night. It could be midnight. It could be whenever I get in bed.
Exactly. Well, what I tell people is consciousness is everywhere. It's not physical, so it's not bound by the speed of light or time or space. It's really eternal. Consciousness is eternal. And us forward thinkers like this who know that, we can use that to our advantage. And especially when it's about increasing love, compassion, the good stuff on earth that we all came here rather than the dramas that are playing out insanely right in front of us every day.
I know. And I have to unfortunately cover most of that. But
I know. It's good because there's no voice of truth out there. That's what saddens me the most. It's like anything that could be considered the truth is, you know, a manufactured soundbite that they want you to avoid the truth. I just watch in amazement that people can be so suckered myself.
I know.
But that's society is in a perpetrator loop right now. I mean, I see our country as a perpetrator nation, actually, against its people and out in the world. And, you know, if we look, if we take the constellation precepts to that, I often wonder if America is the richest, sickest nation on earth because the soul of our nation knows we're doing damage globally and we're almost suffering physically because of the violence that we do around the world to keep oil companies rich or resource rich or whatever. And I'm wondering if part of the soul of America is so diseased and sick because of what we do around the world that people don't think there's a reaction. But, you know, every nation has a soul as much as a person has a soul. And we would suffer to balance out the karma of what we're doing. And I just wonder if we stop, you know, raping and pillaging the planet, if Americans' health would change instantly.
That's
supporting life rather than destroying life.
Right.
For profit, no less.
Well, you know, I've been saying this for so many decades that it's probably boring my listeners already. But I've always said a nation founded by genocide can only end the same way.
Exactly. I totally agree. And with the forced vaccinations coming and everything, it's like going to get pretty hairy pretty fast, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you this, I mean, in case everybody's listening and thinking we're a mutual admiration society. The way Gary and I got connected was, it was my daughter who started working with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Gia had called me and she says, Mom, you've got to meet Gary. You two are like soul twins, she said.
Very true.
And then the rest, as they say, was history.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's just truth needs to be out there. So what we find in constellations, the family's been hiding a truth, like John Bradshaw's Secrets. There's been some simple truth. Great-grandma was a lesbian. She didn't like that. You know, whatever the truth was, what I tell people is, like, we were strong enough to live through the negative, so healing it should be actually a breeze. Letting it go should be a breeze. The negative to that is some people are so afraid to let go of the old reality because they don't know what the new reality is going to be like without the pain.
Right.
So pain becomes a comfort zone that they, well, wait, what will my family say? What will it be if I'm the first happy one and I come from a depressive family? I'm not going to fit in anymore. So there's that fear that you won't belong that actually makes people do pretty crazy things within a family because they feel they belong to that crazy family. And if they happen to be sane, they'll be rejected or excluded.
Right.
They say, well, I better stay crazy or take Prozac so I can be part of the family, which is doubly crazy.
Well, you know my family history quite well because you and I have worked together.
Absolutely.
And you've worked with my children. You did a phenomenal work for my son. He's so grateful, I can't even tell you.
It's an honor and pleasure.
And as his mother, believe me, I'm even more grateful.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I was 4 years old, I was hit by a truck, knocked unconscious, nobody knows how long. But one thing I do remember is when I came back or came in,
right,
and I was conscious and seeing where we were living, how we were living, the crazy Italian family that I was in. I remember to this day thinking to myself, who are these people? Where are my Jewish parents? And how do I get out of here?
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, that was as clear as the bell. And I mean, most people don't remember anything from when they're, younger than five or
six. Well, maybe there was a blessing with that accident that it knocked sense into you.
Right, right.
Making sense of the insanity ever since.
Right, although a lot of my friends say, okay, you literally were hit by a truck, so that's a good excuse for you.
Exactly.
Now, you have a great quote in the beginning of the book. And believe me, working with you and reading your book has got me talking to ancestors that I don't even know. I just call them out all day long, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
You start with, we are our ancestors' dreams come true.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the same things we want is what they wanted. But say a Jewish family in Berlin, they didn't expect Nazis to be walking down the street or, you know what I mean, or anyone. The trauma befell them, and they all wanted a good life, to have children, to go on, to be prosperous, but life got in the way. A tornado got in the way. A Nazi regime got in the way. A famine got in the way for our Irish listeners, and it created all kinds of drama and trauma. And what happens is it kind of gets frozen or stuck in the family system, so they start to react that trauma and never stop. So it kind of becomes a comfort zone that we all have to suffer like this. Generation after generation, they don't forget that suffering.
Right.
And they're even doing scientific experiments. They had a small village in Norway. There's a YouTube video on it. Small village in Norway. Everyone's lived in the same 50-mile radius for like 200 years. What they found was when there was a famine in the great-grandparents' generation, the great-grandchildren got diabetes. And science is trying to figure out why would a famine affect a pancreas two generations later? And it's so interesting how a reaction to something that happened by your forebears will create a disease in the descendants. It's beyond fascinating, you know. And you look at all the depression in the world right now, you know, what is that post-World War II? Is that, you know, from a miscarried baby that was never honored, or a father who never, you know, who died at war and they never got to say goodbye? So I find many simple things like that, having a rep saying goodbye to someone who died, that they didn't have closure. You know, they died and they were buried, and that just having that goodbye, being able to say that to a rep, or have the mother rep say that to her father, and the client is the granddaughter who doesn't know any of this, she wasn't even born, boom, all of a sudden the client feels healed, their lives change, and then the mother isn't even told about the consolation, and they said, my mother's totally different. And I said, I tell people, don't tell your parents or whoever's repped that they were in a constellation. Just watch what happens in them. And so many people have mentioned sexual abuse in their childhoods after we did a constellation for their daughter who was. And it's like the truth starts to bubble to the surface. People aren't afraid of the truth. And they were never told that that was the subject of the constellation. So the reaction is happening in your entire family system without them present and evolving their soul consciousness around the trauma issue without them even knowing that their grandson or granddaughter was working to better their life.
Right. Well, everybody benefits, whether they know about it or they don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that shows you the totality of consciousness that we all share. I really look at it that we're one human family. We all have grief. We all have loss. The details may be different, but we're really one species with one set of feelings. Sadness, grief, loss, joy, hope, desperation, right. You know, perpetrator, victim. It's all part of this mix, like a Van Gogh painting, you know? Right. I should say Salvador Dali.
More like Dali, huh? For sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, after I worked with you, and I must tell my listeners, this is very deep and involved work. I mean, you got to put in some time to get through this. You know, when I saw your questionnaire, I was like, wow, this is going to be like homework. But I love shit that. So I'm like, yay. And I probably sent you more information than you even needed.
Oh, no, it's very good. It's very good.
But after that, when I started reading your book, you know, there are very few authors that I have ever read, and because of how long I've done my show and being an avid book reader my whole life,
right.
I've read, God knows, thousands and thousands of books. Out of all of them, there are only a handful of authors that make me stop while I'm reading and think.
Oh, excellent. That's the biggest compliment I could have. Thank you so much.
Right. I mean, the other one was, you know, John Bradshaw. And this man that I have on my show every other month, Michael Rakia, whose spiritual work, you can't just rush through it. It's so beautiful and so perfect, but it also makes you stop and think.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, that's why any book worth reading, it should make you ponder different things because you're growing as you read it. I put my heart and soul in it so that the reader can say, oh, I've never thought about things that way. A very good friend of mine who's known me for 30 years, she said, I had to put it down and say, I'm waiting till my vacation so I can really digest this. You go to some deep places.
Right.
And it's like, why not?
Right. You got to go deep.
Shallow lives.
Exactly. You know? Well, as I started reading your book, I ended up ordering a copy and sending it to my older sister, which is something I've done with Bradshaw's work with her because we both remember things quite the same but very different. We'll call it that way.
I know.
But there's so much in the book that helped me help you because I was having realizations while I was reading the book.
Absolutely. And that's my intent. I just look at it that it comes from my heart and spirit to add more love to the world. And I feel my mission this lifetime is to add more love and compassion to the world. And as I write, I have that in mind, that I want the reader to open up to new levels. And this field of consciousness is opening up deeper levels in me. And I just want to share those gifts that I get from doing the work with the reader or the client who's in the room actually doing the work or not in the room with distance work.
Right. Well, you know, don't discount that mission. That's okay. I'm sorry, too. Yeah. It's too bad we can't see each other so we know when
to
shut up.
Well,
to shut up, want to talk.
Zoom shows right here. And, you know, a deep insight is that as children, we're taught to betray ourselves to get our needs met from the parents, like, you know, the parents who don't do this, they're trying to protect you, but at the same time, they're limiting your growth under their rules, so to speak. And I just, you know, the deeper place I get to is that we as children, oh my God, I can't be who I want to be. I can't do what I want to do. And that's the protective side of parents. But on a soul level, if they were squashed by the grandparents, then they're going to squash their children like they were squashed. So no one gets to fully bloom unless they really break through the pavement. And that's that level of betrayal, mostly with our mothers, because they're our closest confidant, because we swam inside her for 9 months. So we want to honor that bond more than anything, and we'll take on more suffering for the mother, more than the father in a lot of cases, because we were inside this woman. We know her. Everything that was unresolved in the mother, that's why when we resolve something now, it's actually going to help our mother because we were inside her. So if we resolve it on the outside, that energy is going to go and heal the mother, whether she's living or dead.
Exactly. And then, you know, I have had quite a few conversations with her, my grandmother, people beyond her. Yeah. It's a good thing I live alone, or people would think that I was insane, I'm sure. But you said something very interesting about yourself, Gary, that I wanted to comment on.
The other point of the book was to empower people. Do you want to live in your parents' sequel, or do you want to take charge of your life and direct and create the movie you want to live in? So you can have a blockbuster movie if that's what you, maybe you're lower keen, you just want a nice, you know, easy melodrama, or, you know, you just, everyone aspires to have It's a Wonderful Life, you know, with Jimmy Stewart way back when, the Christmas, alleged Christmas movie, and people don't realize that movie was actually political, guised as a Christmas story.
Right, against the big banks and the pigs that still run this country.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And Waterville and all that. And at the end, that wasn't a Christmas bell. That was the Liberty Bell. They wanted liberty, people to take financial liberty and not buy into the whole system. You know, it was really wonderfully done.
And it was even a sleeper movie. They didn't even want to make it, and yet it became a classic.
Art has a great way of sneaking through the cracks, and that's what I want to do with this book, to get people to see the surface is non-threatening, and then they go deep, deep, deep as they read it. So it's
It's amazing. Yeah. It's a great book, you know, and I wanted to comment on something you said about yourself, because it's really important. You kind of just mentioned it as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. You said that you're here to share love, to bring love. Yeah. You want to do what you do with love. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, a lot of my clients, everybody's looking for what's my soul mission. And they all think they're supposed to lead a revolution. Yeah. And a lot of them are artists, musicians, and some of them are just beautiful souls. And their whole purpose is to show that beauty, share that beauty, share that love. I said, what is more important than love and joy on a planet filled with so much ugliness? I think it's the highest mission you could possibly have.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if an artist loves their art, then you do your art to your heart's content, because that the people will see the love in that picture, and that will inspire love in them, and they will buy your work, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And hopefully you don't have to die to make money at it, you know? So and I think every family wanted that. I think they just get so stunted and twisted from the traumas that they're incapable. You know, a lot of people judge drinking and stuff, and I don't, because sure, we work on people with substance abuse, but let's say my father killing Nazis all day, and he had some whiskey in Germany and a cigarette. Do you think after he's been shot at or just killed another human being, him sitting having a moment of peace with a cigarette and a whiskey, that was massage, that was acupuncture, that was psychotherapy? Mm-hmm. Most generations did not have the zillions of modalities out there to support us and heal us that our ancestors had. So that whiskey and that cigarette meant a lot to those soldiers who just risked their life for either freedom of the country or to be against Hitler or whatever the case may be. So, you know, when that grief and loss and pain turns into alcoholism because they can't live with what they did, of course, then it becomes substance abuse. But that's all they had back then, with tremendous adversity. So I have compassion that our soldier ancestors, or anyone, that was their only therapy available, was to, let me get away from this pain. Life is too much pain. I got to get away. Right. Let me just have a drink and forget this pain.
Right.
Well, that's how a lot of substance abuse started. So what we find in current, you know, at addictions and stuff like that, it's that inherited pain they're still trying to get away from that's actually not theirs.
That's a very good point, and that's very well said.
One thing I did is I viewed all the Nazi boys my father killed. He had a kill for me. He was on Omaha Beach, which he said his whole life, the beach, the beach, the beach. And then I never know, what the hell is this guy talking about? We like to go to the beach. Why is he always talking about a beach? And when I saw Saving Private Ryan, I said, oh, my God, the opening scene on the beach. I staggered out of the theater. I said, that's the beach that he never stopped talking about? I was absolutely stunned, because my father's psychology made total sense to me. And he was a very violent man. He died at 46 of a horrible cancer that ate him alive. And I think he had so much survivor guilt from that, you know, leaving seven children behind and, you know, my 30-something mother. I mean, it was just not a pretty... And that's the winning side.
Right, exactly.
The winning side.
Exactly.
So in some ways, the Nazi boys got off easy.
All right, at least they got to go home.
I carry those Nazis. He killed his fallen brothers in my family. Bernd Hellinger, the developer of it, he said there's kind of orders to love and things that are kind of constant. And he finds anyone who is perpetrated against another, that victim or perpetrator belongs to the family system through the violence or abuse.
Wow.
So that means my father, basically the people he killed became part of our family system as missing men. And it actually showed up in many constellations. Someone didn't even know my father was dead. And he said, I'm standing here with all dead bodies at my feet. And I had tremendous compassion for his being able to stand in life and being able, and like an alpha male, I have to kill to stay alive. This is my fate in World War II.
Mm.
And so it gave me tremendous compassion for his foibles, and he was a very violent man and suffered greatly with disease. And I said, wow, look what he carried to stay alive, and yet he still wanted to give life.
Right.
And I want to give a shout out to women who have experienced sexual abuse, because it blows my mind that these young girls were actually stronger than the perpetrator on a soul level, that they could withstand that atrocity at any age, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it was, 10, and yet they still chose to become mothers. That blows my mind more than anything. It shows you the power of sexuality, that it will obliterate any belief or negative experience with the drive to procreate and be a mother, and hope it will be a better day. Hope that they can protect their child from what the danger that they experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And just the courage of that is just, you know, mind blower to me, to perpetuate the species at all cost.
Right. Well, Gary, that's well said too. And wow, I could visualize what you were saying about your dad while you were saying it. We're going to go to a short break. We'll be back. Stay with us. Gary and I will be right back.
Spiritual professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience, and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground. Out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at meria.net. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Maria Heller Show with my extra special guest, my soul twin, my brother from another mother, Gary Stewart. I highly recommend Gary's work. Okay, I can help a lot of people, and I do. But there are instances where you need a different modality. You need to look at it from another angle too, because even myself, as all of you know, when I don't feel good, I try every modality till something works. Gary is excellent, and you can get in touch with Gary by emailing him at gary@constellationhealinginstitute.com. You can also just go to his website, Constellations with Gary Stewart. I have live links right here. So if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, it might not even be your sick and tired that you're feeling. Gary, when I was reading your book, you know, because I've read so many books, and mm-hmm. there are some authors that I truly honor and respect. You're now one mm-hmm. of them, big time. When you're talking about making the movie, you talk about it as being, at the end of the movie, looking at your final credits.
Yes, absolutely.
And that immediately took me back to Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Where he has you visualize your funeral. Who's there? Is anybody there? Is anybody crying for you? This, that, the other thing. And the purpose of that exercise is if you don't like what's being said or no one's showing up at your funeral, you're still alive and you can change it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as we know, and progressive thinkers like us, and I'm sure your listeners are as well, they wouldn't be attracted to your show if they weren't expansive, you know, in their inquiry of life and what's going on in the world, is do we really want to have people say, like say people see the credits, oh, it's too bad they didn't die happy. Oh, it's too bad they never found love. Oh, it's too bad they hated their job. You know, just think of what the audience would say in there. Like, what would you want people to say? Oh my God, they did it. They made their dream come true. Oh my God, it's astounding what they accomplished. And, you know, oh, it wasn't about money. It was social change they were after. And just, you know, that's the kind of review you want, because your spirit is here to make a difference, to better either. And maybe some spirits are just supposed to be, you know, trailer park trash in Kansas. Maybe that's their destiny. Well, but the other people are going to rise to be that Rocky or that Gandhi.
Right.
Or even support, you know, support that forward consciousness. Even if you're not the leader, you're a supporter of expansive consciousness, which is just as valid because there's power in numbers.
Right. Well, I'm sure you know, I do know you're going through your own personal, sadness. Because you just lost your mother-in-law, but I'm sure I got to tell you, I'm jealous now when people die. I don't even feel sorry anymore.
Too.
I get jealous.
I read the obituaries. I say, shit, they graduated already.
Right. I'm like, oh God. But you know, you may or may not know that the horror of a woman, Phyllis Schlafly, died.
I just saw that today. I haven't read the obituary.
Yeah, and you can look at the comments about her to view her final credits, okay?
Because
everybody's so happy she's dead. And I don't want that to be my final credits.
For our listeners on that thought, which I have an interesting take on that, like a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, I happen to be gay. And when Anton Scalia, you know, had his heart attack and was it May or June or whatever, everyone said, oh, you know, ding dong, the witch is dead. And I said, you know, that perpetrator energy actually strengthened the gay movement. So you could say that the resistance or the negative catalyst actually strengthened the movement to have gay marriage throughout the land per order of the Supreme Court. So when people say, oh, yeah, I said, you know, without that negative voice, then he actually empowered the grassroots effort to say, no, we're not going to let that stand. So you could say that someone like that actually unconsciously promoted gay marriage by being so resistant to it. Mm-hmm. So it actually was a blessing that these negative people sometimes are the catalyst. And you could say even like Adolf Hitler was a catalyst to look at anti-Semitism and ethnic cleansing, even though it's still going on, unfortunately, in secret most of the time. But he was a catalyst to say, hey, give one human personality all this power. This is what's going to happen. Richard Nixon, hey, I have the power, but I'm insecure. Look what I'll do to think I'm going to win. You know what I mean?
Right, like Trump, who's going to fix everything all by himself.
Oh. Absolutely. While his business empire has always been a shambles. That's the thing. It's the emperor has no clothes and people aren't paying attention.
How'd you like that statue of him? The emperor has no balls.
Oh, I thought that was great.
I loved it. I thought that was
Someone
the best political
to
law.
Someone was charge on the person. Yeah, too ugly.
Too ugly. An attack with a deadly weapon in his face. When somebody starts working with you, first they will contact you, they'll set an appointment, and I know you give them
a free phone consultation and just talk about what their needs are, how they feel it can serve them, and then I send a questionnaire. It's a 2-page questionnaire, but you can make it 4 or 5 pages of answers. That's fine. What we're looking for is the trauma from other generations or the countries. I was just working with somebody who their father was born on a Chinese boat coming to San Francisco in 1900?
Wow.
1920, and the whole constellation was about him leaving China, being birthed on a boat, that they felt they were betraying China to come to San Francisco. And as you know, San Francisco has a huge Chinatown, but there was a collective guilt that they left the homeland. So we actually put in a rep for China to see how China felt about her children leaving her. And it was absolutely fascinating. He felt the DNA in every cell of his body vibrating after that. So his father probably had trauma on the boat, and they probably had a lot of fear on the boat. Oh, my God, we're leaving the homeland. We're so guilty. We shouldn't go to San Francisco, but it's not good here. There's not enough food in China. Or may I say, Tong is going to kill us. People don't realize he was a genocidal maniac.
Right. Right.
Yeah, which was hidden from history, and I was shocked when I found it out myself just 10
years ago. Well, of course, they never talk about that with World War II. It's always about the Jewish Holocaust when so many more Chinese and Russians were killed.
Yeah, Mao's killed 10 times the amount of Chinese, his own Chinese people than Hitler did, you know, and it's not even a news story.
Right.
And it was called the Cultural Revolution, which is far from cultural, you know.
Yeah, they,
anyway,
I think they
all that they had, and he felt his DNA. Now, this was a total skeptic. He said, Gary, this is, you know, I'm going to do it because you people rave about you. It's at a conference. I'm going to be one of the few demo people to show people the power of the word, but I'm a skeptic. I'm a realist. And at the end, he says, oh, my God, every cell in my body is vibrating with life now. And that's why we do the work. We want people to have more love in their heart, more compassion in their heart. But we want the DNA to be at its maximum vibratory level of health, of good immune system, of vitality. And somehow when we carry the dead ancestors in the past, not that we're trying to cast them off, we're carrying the deadness of the dead weight. So I use the metaphor a lot. You know, we inherited our body from our ancestors, but we also inherited the baggage, which is full of unresolved issues. Constellation, we're emptying that baggage out. We're emptying it for the ancestors who passed on. It's finally resolved, and we're not carrying the bags anymore. So the ball and chain are gone. The bags are empty. We've let them go, recede into the past, so we can have the fullest life possible. Hence, we're the dream come true of those people. Well, we share their DNA anyway. That's the kicker. Our DNA is just borrowed. It came from other people who are long gone. So that's the beauty of the work I see, is that we have a direct interface with the dead, because it's almost like our DNA is a transistor radio, a transistor that connects us to both realms, the dead realm from where our DNA came from, the living realm in the present, and the future realm where we're going.
Exactly. Well, since I've worked with you, what I do is when I am talking to them, I'll say, you know, like yesterday, I guess last night, I was just talking to my grandmother, who's been dead since I'm 11. And I said, listen, Grandma, I said, you know, this crap going on in my head was really your physical problem.
Absolutely. That's a great, healthy boundary.
Right. And I'm like, I really love you. I thank you for the gift of life. And we'll talk about it when I'm on the other side.
Right. Exactly. But till then.
Until then, keep on trucking. Right. Keep on trucking, baby. You ask a question in the book that's so wonderful. And I really would like my listeners, I'm sure, not while you're listening, but later on, start thinking about the stuff we're talking about. And ask yourself this question, because it's such a good one. Who are you without your family?
Absolutely.
So many people define themselves by their family. You know, I have five sisters, four of them still alive. We all grew up very tight, all in the same neighborhood. We were basically up each other's butt night and day.
Right.
And I realized at a certain age that that was not healthy. I didn't want to be known as part of the Rubino girls. So when my sisters all migrated to Florida, and they weren't even Jewish, I told them I was moving to Arizona. And they said, well, why are you going to Arizona if we're all here? And I said, you answered your own question.
Exactly.
And I didn't mean it in a bad way, but I had to be me.
Right. Absolutely.
And I think that a lot of people really don't, and especially people in oppressive families, because come the holiday time, people are so depressed because they're forced to see their families. They know what they're going to be in for. They don't want to go, but it's a sense of obligation.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I even tell my family, we still have issues too, because they haven't done their work. So here I feel like I'm seeing, it's uncomfortable for me because I see what's unresolved in them in a that field while I'm sitting with them, and I'm like, oh my God, they should be doing this, they could do that, they could do that. And I try to love them and have compassion, but it's, I hear the, to me it's haunting that I hear the voices of my dead ancestors coming through them, and it's very uncomfortable for me because I know it's actually not their voice. It's my great-grandmother's probably.
Right, but it's that same old... Right,
it's like... with it and have it in your face, you know?
Well, it's kind of like 9/11. They just reinforce the same old story.
Absolutely. Like, my mother was kind of an angry narcissist, and kind of ironically, what showed up is in my constellation work is that she was sexually abused, and it was like my grandmother not protecting her from her, maybe encouraging it because it was done to her that way by my great-grandmother. And what I try to get a lot of people who have been abused, especially young ladies who are abused, to get them back to their no. If you really look separate from the sexual violation, a lot of young girls couldn't say no. They didn't feel they had the right to say no to a perpetrator, to whatever was going on, no and run away. They just froze and became victims of that. So in my mother's case, that showed up in my constellation. The facilitator said, this is like almost 20 years ago. She said, you know, I think there's sexual abuse in your mother's line. I said, I've surmised that. So she basically was an angry narcissist her whole life. From 4 years old, she died at 74, so she had a 70-year tantrum of me, 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 very narcissistically, to overcompensate for her lack of ability to say, no, get away from me, don't touch me.
Right.
And it was just, so the irony is 10 years after she died, her first cousin died and sent us a box of pictures of her at 4 years old.
Wow.
And I saw this innocent girl, this sweet little girl, and I said, wow, did that sweet, it touches me, did that sweet girl think that that was going to be the roughest day of her life and have a 70-year tantrum over that day? So I saw her before she was abused and had to become a narcissist or make it about her, her drama, because no one paid attention to her.
Aw. Well, it's...
And, you know, did she want that? And then to be the mother of seven children and blah, blah, blah. Wow. So we just see them. I always tell, you know, our parents are human screw-ups, and they're yet the divine masculine feminine, and they're the human screwed-up divine masculine feminine. Mm-hmm. And we're the divine child and the screwed-up child. So we're all equal in one way or another. And
Absolutely.
Just accept that and with compassion and know that we're all here learning, because Earth is actually a huge classroom anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm not coming back here. I'm graduating.
I'm
not coming back. That's it. It's like, look, I came down, I volunteered to be the mouth that roars and piss off everybody in the world since I was a kid. But, you know, it's like, okay, this is getting a little too long in the tooth for me now.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, telling that story made me think about my daughter. And you know the work my daughter does, a lot of it motivational. You know, she's like the queen of social media. And one of the
absolutely. Yeah. That's how we met. And
right.
She's helping me with mine.
Oh, she's the best. I wish I had more time to learn from her. But, you know, one of the important things that she teaches in a very early class, which is mostly in very much in alignment with what you and I do, Gary, is she teaches people to really learn and listen to what their story is and how to change their story.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that in your book, I was like, great minds think alike.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think people are so adamant to hold on to their story, their backstory?
It's going to sound kind of trite, the devil you know. It's almost scarier to think outside the box. And as we see that politically with the sheeple and people buying what the media tells us now, but it's so much comfortable to be where you know you won't have to grow, you won't have to change, it's always going to be this way. There's kind of a comfort zone, whether it's honor among thieves, maybe in one family system, or we're all depressed and there's no way out in another family system.
Right.
And I think it creates just a comfort zone where people... It's such a negative habit that they don't think there's another way. And I think it's the, like you and your family choosing to leave. I knew at a young age I wanted to come to Los Angeles, you know, and just get 3,000 miles away from my family, too.
It wasn't just, so I mean, I love my family, don't get me wrong, but I needed to be an independent. I didn't need to be one of the bunch.
Right, exactly, and I felt the same way as well. So, you know, and I think that's also part of the evolution of different people. They have the courage to stand out, whether it's to be a leader or to be a new thought leader, a champion of civil rights, whatever. you know, we're drawn to do. It's like I see our soul or spirit was strong enough to take the bull by the horns and say, I'm going to take this in a different direction. I'm not going to just be with the status quo. That's boring and dead to me. So I'm going to do something exciting with my life. And I think it takes a lot of courage for people like that. But I would much rather do and be that than just in a status quo that's just like this mundane dead. Rained today. Do you like cheesecake? Yeah, I gotta stop eating it. Pass the Diet Coke. Okay.
Yeah, that would put me in a mental institution in about five minutes.
Me too. The boredom factor is like, come on. There's, you know, there's a zillion ways to stimulate yourself out there and grow and change. And that's a life I want to lead.
Right. Well, you know, I remember about 10 years ago visiting my sisters in Florida, and you know, they immediately go back to the old stories. That's all they want to talk about, the old stories. And they assume that I'm still the same person I was when I was 10 years old.
Oh, ditto.
And I just lost it. I lost it, Gary. I looked at them and I said, you know what? If I have to come here and hear the same old shit and the same old stories and be insulted by all of you thinking that I haven't matured or grown in the past 50 years, I said, I don't want to hear this crap. If we can't start from today forward, I don't want to keep rehashing the past. The past is over.
I said that same thing to my family. It is beyond boring, and I said I'd rather be with strangers and get to know them than go through the...
Right. I'd rather talk to somebody on the line in the supermarket.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and some people just, I think it's just a habit. You know, there's an old saying, misery loves company.
Right.
And I think some people, that's just their identity. It's like, this is our, some people, I think it's they accept their fate and destiny. This is it. There's nothing else. You know, they give up before they even start. You know, and that can be family conditioning.
Right.
And we just want to give people a choice. People who generally come to me, they're the black sheep. They were excluded, they were rejected. When they see the bigger picture, what we find in constellations is many people are the black sheep because they're like you and I, who want something different, who want something better, who want something bigger than what we were born into. And it's no disrespect to them. It's like we're striving on a different mission, yet we're part of that, you know, family system. And my deeper insights, you know, a lot of the original Hellinger stuff, oh, you never want to be excluded, you never want to betray your family. And the longer I do this, I said, what is the matter with that? Because you're betraying misery. What's for joy? Is that really a betrayal?
Right.
You know?
I understand. And I always tell people, I'm sure you see the post I put up occasionally on my worldwide reading at Facebook. But the one that people like the most is when I say, just because someone's related to you by blood doesn't make them your family.
Absolutely. And 9 out of 10 times I'll pick my chosen family over my biological.
Absolutely. I've built such a great family. I have so many wonderful children. I can't even tell you. I'm just so grateful for that. I consider my listening audience, you know, my family. My guests, my family, you know, and so many other radio hosts are jealous of my audience. They can't get an audience as intelligent and as active as my audience. I do what I do from what I call my soul group.
Absolutely. And I think other people find that. They actually find that in the animal world, which is quite interesting. They witness dolphins rejecting like a male dolphin. Usually it's generally a male that's rejected by the pod.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes off and starts his own pod. And I'm wondering if part of the evolution of any species is for the group, someone to not fit in the group, whether it's genetically or in the mindset, then they get rejected and they find their own group. Because if you really look at it, that would propel evolution and expansion of consciousness forward. Otherwise, everyone would be stagnant and just die.
Absolutely.
You know, out of boredom, living in a rut, you know.
Wow.
So I really think part of the cycle of life is those kindred spirits who have that spirit of adventure. You know, what if no one was Columbus? What if no one was Einstein? What if, you know, all the great things that have happened on Earth, what if they said, oh, yeah, what if Einstein, I'm in a patent office. I'll just work here until I get my Social Security and die.
I can't visualize
We have the theory of relativity. That was his day job. And, as you know, he's a brilliant philosopher as well as a mathematician.
Well, Gary, I have to tell you, this was a very quick hour. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been so much fun, and maybe we can get to do this again. And again,
I'd love to. Thank you very much.
You take good care, and we'll talk again soon.
Yes, and I'm on Facebook too.
Yes, he is. Just check my friends list and just click through.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's an honor and pleasure. Namaste to all your listeners.
You too.
I'm out there for you.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks. I absolutely recommend Gary's work. And now you heard me talk about my daughter a couple of times. If any of you want to check her work out, get over to GiaPreneur.com. It's like entrepreneur, but with Gia instead. GiaPreneur.com or MySocialEmpire.com. Gary's work is great. We don't have to suffer through this life. We don't have to carry everybody's old crap around, whether it's inside us, in our DNA, whether it's in our etheric body. We can work towards living our lives, and that's what this is about. So thanks again for supporting the show and for each and every one of you being as special and as loving as you are. And I'll see you guys on Thursday.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.